The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. The Year of Destruction, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. What's up, guys? I really forgot what I was going to say there. We're still at home. We're still remoting in here. I did go back to work this week, so I've gotten back into the public. Not ready for it, but these are the times we live in. With me tonight, unfortunately, not Asa Gray. He couldn't make it, so we're down a person. But we do have the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And Double H.
You know it.
Here's the problem when Ace is not here. Let's spell it out for the people at home. Ace.
Well, first it throws your rhythm off.
It throws my rhythm off because Ace is the guy I feed off the most. But also, Ace is the saint that puts together the notes every week. So he knows all the stories. A lot of the times, a lot of you hear me talk about these stories, and I kind of, you know, give the headline, and then I'll go, Asa, you know what? Let's talk about it. That's because I don't know what it is, and I'm just reading what Asa tells me to read. I'm just the voice. Asa's the brains.
I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I watch anything outside of WWE and AEW. Like that's it. When it comes to these companies, I'm reading down the list and like, yeah, I know what Dragon Gate is. I'm fully aware. I couldn't tell you a thing about it.
I'm not going to pretend that I watch AEW or WWE, because I don't.
Yeah, to be fair, in the past, I don't know, probably 2 weeks. Well, I mean, the thing is, we keep doing shows when they're on, and so most of the time, like, I thought to bring the iPad down tonight so I could throw NXT up here since we got a debut coming up, but that's it, man. I honestly, I could not tell you outside of the Money in the Bank matches two things that are happening this weekend at that show, and I know it's coming up later, but maybe, I don't know, maybe that's for the better.
I also want to point out that right now I'm actually in a lot of pain. I don't know, my neck hurts really bad. And every time I
drink that energy drink,
maybe every time I move my neck and I talk, it like hurts really bad, and I have to keep my neck craned a little bit to record. So I'm kind of uncomfortable right now, I'm going to be honest.
We're just going to have to make it quick.
It's probably going to be a quick show. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and it's also super important to note with, like, the last 3 months or 2 months of, like, dealing with wrestling, everything's been pretty much a placeholder minus, like, the Boneyard match. There's nothing's been super exciting. If I'm watching it live, it's because it's either WrestleMania or Marco's wrestling. Like, those are the only times I'm really watching.
Well,
I'm super paying attention.
On the couple of times that I haven't been on a show when we've been doing something, I'll throw it up because, I mean, we've got Hulu Live, and so I can watch whatever at any point in time, I guess, you know, but I try to watch it when it's on, if that's the case. But that said, just like you said, nothing's holding my attention, man.
Yeah,
and it's not like they're doing anything different. It's just that lack of a crowd really does hurt it.
It does. Yeah. Oh, which, by the way, I want to mention, I don't think Asa has it on there because it's not really a story, but I thought it was really funny. They did an interview with Alexa Bliss where they asked her about, you know, the lack of crowd noise and if that hurts her. And she talked about how when she started in NXT as a good guy, she didn't have any crowd noise anyway, so she was used to it. I just thought that was very,
very
funny.
Alexa got jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say that too loud. My Amazon Echo is going to pick up if I say that too loud.
Yeah. No, well, it's one of those things, like, you're so accustomed to having that crowd reaction after things.
Yeah.
And when it's not there, it super throws you off. Whenever we did the Stride recorded show, I hated it. Like, I didn't mind doing it. Like, I was fine with wrestling, but I hated not having the crowd noise because that's kind of like what me and Jay feed off of. And we're goofy characters anyway, so it kind of hurts whenever you don't have a crowd there because you can't act like there was no acting that day. It was just like, all right, let's get this match through.
Yeah, I think Dalton would agree with me on this. There's nothing worse when you're performing in wrestling than no crowd noise. And like the fear that when you walk out through the curtain, their fear that the crowd's not going to react to you is one thing. That I think that's worse because they're there and they just don't care about you.
That's performing in general, man. I mean, way back when I was doing stand-up, I mean, obviously you don't want to get booed doing stand-up, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would rather you at least be aware that I'm there than the crickets chirping and the random cough in the background because there is no reaction to what you do.
You before Dalton and I were in with CCW, you were the first one. You were the GM of CCW.
Yeah.
And I still remember that first time you came out, you know, the first CCW show. Not that there was a lack of crowd noise. It's just no one was familiar with anything yet.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So I imagine that had to be uncomfortable.
After Ken, I was really the first person out there. And I knew that, you know, part of the reason they'd asked me to come in is because local celebrity, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I think in the end it went down really well. But, yeah, that first appearance is just sort of, I understand that really beyond you guys who know me personally, a lot of people don't know who I am or what it is I have to do. So that's why I felt like when I got out there I had to work extra hard, which is why I just absolutely ate it trying to get into the ring. Because, you know, if they're not laughing with you, at least make them laugh at you.
Yeah. All right,
I didn't do that on purpose. I can't blame. I can't take credit for that.
It looked good though. You recovered. Well.
No, it didn't.
So, and I'm sorry for making fun of you, Hunter, but it's one of those that like.
No, you're not.
I don't understand how you did it, and it could just be like I have a
neither
little bit
do
more
I.
Like. Yeah, because like I get in and out of like I twisted my ankle one time getting into a ring, but that was in practice, and it's because I jumped over the top. I've never gotten caught up. Like I've never Batista'd it.
Okay, I've never got caught up getting into the ring, but and obviously we weren't recording it at the time, but if you could go back and watch those first times that I got in the ring as a ring announcer, it turned into a joke where I would get in really carefully because it, I don't know, there's something about going through those ropes the first few times that really throws you off. Yeah, so it became a joke. Whenever I would get through the ropes without tripping or something, the crowd would cheer, and I turned it into like a bit. But it was not a bit at first. It was legitimately difficult to get in the ring.
In retrospect, the only thing I can think, because I really don't remember that specifically, what I remember from that night is cutting promos and all the stuff that happened toward the end of the night. But all I can think must have happened is I remember trying to go through the top and middle ropes, and I'm just not tall enough for that. I know this. So when I started to go through and my ankle got caught up, what my instinct was, oh, you're going to fall, grab onto what's close, which is the middle rope, which I grabbed on so hard, that's why I ended up hanging from it like a sloth on a tree vine, just trying to hold on for dear life, and I'm just sitting there laughing at myself like this is exactly how this should have gone.
This is a good first impression.
Here's the thing. Coming back, I would gladly do it again, but I could never do it that way on purpose. There's no way. If I tried to do it on purpose, it would not go down the same way.
Whenever I get in the ring, sometimes if I'm feeling brave, what I like to do, because I kind of tried to do this not so much unhinged, but just this character that you don't really know what he's going to do. He's kind of off the cuff. So I'll get in the ring and I'll spin around and try to act like I'm almost falling, like I have no control over my body. And I'll spin around and then I'll kind of fall into the ropes. And it's supposed to, in my head, it looks really cool. And it's this kind of like, it's like the drunken master. You can never tell what he's going to do. But the problem with that is there are so many times that when I do that, I legitimately like slip and almost fall because I get dizzy really easily, especially if I'm on this blood pressure medication. And I'm waiting for the time that I completely fall on my ass and the crowd will laugh. And of course, I'll play it off. But I'm trying to look cool. I want you all to know that.
Oh, yeah.
We know.
Well, whenever like early CCW, after every ass kicking, I got out of the ring a certain way every time, which was I just got the holy hell beat out of me. So I would fall out of the ring almost.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the exact opposite where I knew like how my body was going to fall. So I just grabbed a rope and just kind of let it happen.
Yeah, see, I never know how my body's going to fall. I'm not used to that yet. Whenever they did the clothesline spot at the January show, when I got clotheslined in the Riot match, I was terrified because I had no idea how I was going to land. I didn't know. Everyone told me, don't grab the rope, just kind of use it to guide you. And I was terrified. First time I've ever been clotheslined over the top rope. And I think I did it really well, but that was one of the scariest things I've ever done. So I don't know how you do those dives and shit, man.
The dives are easy. I've never done that over the, like, I've never done that back flip bump that you did outside because that scares the shit out of me. Because whenever I do the dives, like, my head is going forward. So I can kind of, if I can control my upper body, my lower body just kind of tail.
Yeah.
So anytime I've ever gotten hurt doing a dive, which I think has only been really once, it's because my upper body stopped abruptly.
Was that when you busted your lip?
Yeah, whenever Garrett sent my face into the ring, it was because of that. It wasn't something I did, although I should have communicated better. It was the way he put my head down, it sent my entire body crashing.
Yeah, that was scary. That was, oh. Well,
You were about to say something, Hunter.
I'm just watching NXT. That's why I was going to wait until you guys are done. out of the corner of my eye here, are they really making Cameron Grimes the guy who, because I got no audio here, but Balor just beat the crap out of Cameron Grimes. Is he the one who took him out? That would
I
be
couldn't
real,
tell you. I didn't
cause
know.
I, don't get me wrong. I Isn't really like Cameron Grimes, but that would be really disappointing.
Dalton, who was Cameron Grimes before he was Cameron Grimes? What was
Trevor Lee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. All right. Well, that's the show.
That's it. That's all we got.
That was a good
we
show.
We talked about ourselves for 10 minutes, and now we got to talk about how Shannon doesn't, or Hunter is kind of bummed out that it was Cameron Grimes.
I want to say, you said nothing's really catching you. Nothing's catching you in wrestling right now, but you're watching NXT. I think that Karrion Kross is going to be fantastic. But what I'm really excited about, and I know this is going to sound perverted or something, but I'm especially excited about Scarlett Bordeaux, because if there's ever anyone that I thought was really going to like be a superstar when I saw them, it was Scarlett Bordeaux. She has the look. It like she's super talented too. And when you have the look and the talent like that, I feel like the sky is the limit for her, because she is that kind of basically what they wanted to do with Emma and a whole list of other people that they try to turn into like the bombshell. But Scarlett Bordeaux is like naturally gifted at that. Like she is just incredible. And I can't wait to see what she does in WWE. I'm almost afraid that we're going to have a Mike Kanellis type situation where, or Lana and Rusev, where the girl will upstage the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go back to
the point, I'm wondering when they're going to show up. If they haven't already shown up, have they? Because I just turned this on and they're heading toward this, Adam Cole Velveteen Dream match.
I'm not gonna lie, I woke up at 7:45. We record at 8. So like I woke up and then I just went to my computer. So I couldn't tell you.
The real question is, when did you go to sleep?
5:30. I think I got like a 2-hour nap in.
That's not bad.
Nah.
That's a nap. If you went to sleep at like 1 o'clock, I'd be like, what is wrong with you?
yeah, Hunter, I think you already missed Karrion Kross. He squashed Leo Rush. 50 seconds.
Leo Rush. Squashed.
Yep.
No, it was recorded. It's got to be taped then.
Okay, it says Leon Rush.
That has to be Leo. It has to be Leo Rush.
No, it would absolutely be on brand for WWE to bring in some jobber and name him Leon Rush.
Leon
after they fired
Rush.
Leo. Very on brand for them.
I want to see
Not
if Asa
NXT
put this
so much, but
did Asa put this story on here? Because this may have just popped. Okay, I think this just popped recently. I'm reading on 41 Mania that, do you remember the lights out match at Full Gear between Kenny Omega and Moxley?
Yeah.
Apparently, they got fined $10,000 for that.
What?
By the commission?
Maryland Athletic Commission.
Ouch.
That checks out.
That's painful. Yeah. I mean, not really, but
they
fine for them.
They fined them for, quote, deliberately lacerating oneself or one's opponent or by any other means introducing human or animal blood into the match.
Yikes.
Yep.
So there you go.
That sounds right, dealing with commissions. If it was any like a lot of commissions will just say you're done. But
yeah,
when you have that much money, like Taker did a tombstone pile driver in Louisiana at 34, and pile drivers are explicitly prohibited in that state.
Yeah, what did they pay for that? Because I remember there was that number came out at some point.
I don't remember. I know the besties in the world who did a pile driver the night before lost their wrestling licenses.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, in fairness to the commission, one of them did yell fuck the commission and then did the pile driver.
That's probably unwise. Yeah, that's probably unwise.
Like,
oh,
yeah.
But you know, with this and AEW, you're talking about Tony Khan money, $10,000. I'm pretty sure he has that in pocket change.
Yeah, no, that was a dollar.
He literally
bill.
Blows his nose on that.
Yeah,
yeah.
He literally
flicked it to him and said, "Here's your money, whore." Like, that's what happened.
And then he also bought the state, which was really awkward.
The whole state.
So we do have some news and notes here. Let's talk about these. Asa was kind enough to do it. Asa's not having a great week, although I know he is excited about that Mortal Kombat reveal with the Aftermath trailer. And I'm excited about RoboCop. And this is valid on Pro Wrestling Unscripted because, Dalton, who made a one-off appearance in WCW?
It was RoboCop to help out Sting in, like, 91, wasn't it?
You couldn't say Chucky just to throw him off?
Oh, oh shit, you're right.
WCW, all right. Everyone says WCW was the worst. Yeah, Will Sasso too, and Arliss. WCW had the best guest characters because they didn't just like bring people in who were the actors for it. They brought in the characters themselves.
They had the best characters, but they used them in the worst way.
Well, what is RoboCop going to do other than break open a cell for Sting? Do you really want to see? And come on, Chucky cut a promo on Rick Steiner.
He out-promoed Rick Steiner.
He out-promoed Rick Steiner.
I ain't saying much.
It's really not.
If you do it to Scott, let me know.
I think Scott would have actually like went backstage and found the puppet and beat the shit out of it.
Why do you have to say these things that now I want to see and they'll never happen?
Yeah.
Never say never, brother. You never know what's going to happen. Dalton and I worked with Scott Steiner last year at Super Show.
I've worked shows with him twice.
I say worked with. Thank God we didn't have to do anything with him.
Besides shake his hand, that was it.
See, I didn't even get to shake his hand because when I got there, he was already at his table. But what I did do was literally walk into him backstage. And when I turned around and said, hey, sorry, man, and I saw Scott Steiner, I thought, well, I'm fucking dead.
The thing about Scott is he's still legitimately scary looking.
Yeah, he is. And he looks grumpy all the time.
Rick looks like your kind of cool uncle that has a motorcycle.
To be fair, Scott also looks like he has a motorcycle with a very particular helmet. It's very German, if you know what I mean.
I'm still looking. So I have my shelf of shows I've worked with or people I've worked with, and I'm still trying to find a specific Scott Steiner figure. But to get it, it's like $60.
Mm. Hey, if a certain somebody can spend $80 on BTS pops, I think you earned it.
That's true.
I say go for it. Go for it, man.
I just don't want to drop that much on a Steiner figure.
I'm sure you've dropped more on worse.
Yeah, but I wanted to spend that money. I don't want to spend $80 for a Scott Steiner figure.
I'm guessing you don't want to say that person's name, so we'll just call her Sadie S. No, that's too obvious. We'll call her S. Swafford.
There it is.
That's even worse coming from me because she doesn't even know me.
I just the humor of it yesterday when I asked her, I was like, how much did you pay for those BTS pops? And she just went 80 and my mouth dropped and I was flabbergasted.
In
fairness, it's seven of them. It's all seven. And if you put that at $10 or like you divide it, it's about the right price for seven pops.
And to be fair, you know, BTS is going to be around forever, like New Coke. It's here to stay.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell this is a fad that she's going to regret in a couple of months. Anyway, speaking of fads that got over in a couple of months, Curtis Axel's been released.
Oh, man.
It's sad. I made a very tasteless joke about it the other day. I'm not going to repeat here, but...
It was on a show, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Friday. It was Friday.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought Curtis Axel got kind of the short end of the stick. I always thought he was really talented and fun.
What prompted it recently. I want to say it was just some random Reddit thread, but someone had posted that clip of him winning the Intercontinental title in that triple threat match against The Miz and someone else.
Was it Kofi?
Maybe. It was the opening match of a show, and it's when Paul Heyman was his manager.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Yeah,
but man, A, you forget how talented Curtis Axel is because you never see him, obviously, right. And because they never give him a chance to do anything. But for that brief moment, man, they had him paired up with Heyman. He was given an opportunity. He was given a title there briefly. He could have been something.
Wade Barrett, that's who it was.
Yeah, I knew The Miz was one. Wade Barrett was indeed the other.
I think it's important, though, to mention that Curtis Axel also cut that promo in NXT that was so legendarily bad that like I immediately checked out on him for a while. Like he had
that's why they gave him Paul Heyman. That was the point. But that was also when they changed his name to Curtis Axel, because before that it was Michael McGillicuddy. That'll get over. That'll put butts in the seats.
That name's gonna win you some fans right there. Although I said
here
the same
is
thing
your
about
winner.
Michael McGillicuddy. I said the same thing about Dolph Ziggler. I remember the first time I heard Dolph Ziggler, I was like, that is the dumbest fucking name I've ever heard in professional wrestling. And
yeah,
now I got him on speed dial.
Yeah, but I say it's brave to say about your best friend.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Dolph carries and no offense to Curtis Axel, don't get me wrong, but Dolph kind of carries the gravitas to make something like that work. He's going to get over whatever you give him. Curtis Axel. I mean, the man's name was Michael McGillicuddy, and not one time did he think of naming his finisher the McGillicutter.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he gets to name them. I think pretty sure they just told him what to do and they weren't clever enough for it.
What's my finish? Think, you don't get one. It was that New Jack bit. Guys, I don't have a finish. You ain't going to need it.
Roll up. That's everyone's finish these days. What was some of the other names for that NXT? I remember Bray Wyatt was Husky Harris. That's another one. Like, can you imagine WrestleMania, The Rock versus Husky Harris?
There was one guy that did the worst promo.
I can't just for the promos from The Rock.
That's true. The one with the worst promo in that series of promos, that challenge.
Was it the mustache one?
It was the mustache one, who was Eli Cottonwood.
Eli Cottonwood. That sounds like man. That is an unlockable character. I'm pretty sure. I shit you not. I think that is an unlockable character that is a Southern hick sounding mutated living piece of corn from Time Splitters, Future Perfect. And I'm pretty sure its name was Eli Cottonwood.
I thought you were going to go with WCW Nitro.
If he were there today, he would be the Diesel to Cameron Grimes, Shawn Michaels.
But still named Eli Cottonwood.
But still named Eli Cottonwood.
Oh, my God.
Who else was in that group? Darren Young. He was in there, right?
That was the first one.
But, of course, he kept that name. He was still named Darren Young.
Was Titus O'Neil in that, or was Titus never in the NXT? I don't remember.
He might have been in the second or third group.
Yeah.
But Darren Young was definitely in the first group.
But anyway, Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
We got far away from Curtis Axel.
Well, that's how bad that is.
Yeah, that's how unimportant he is. Then you did the B-team thing, which was fun in small doses, but they went way too far with it. And what's crazy,
I loved the B-team.
They haven't released Bo Dallas, though.
Got that famous brother.
Oh, wait. You released Curtis Axel.
And they fired his dad. They couldn't do much more to the family.
Are you talking about IRS, or are you talking about God fired Kurt Hennig?
God? Damn.
He said, I'm sorry, creative has nothing for you.
They literally buried him.
Oh, no. That's it.
Guys.
That's the show.
Yeah, that's bad. Let's move on. Let's move on from Curtis Axel. Ethan Page, who Dalton and I have also worked with. This is crazy. Confirmed he was paid by Impact, even for appearances that were canceled. Which is cool. I don't have anything else to add to that.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people not, I don't know, it's not really being negative of it, but just kind of putting into perspective and saying, well, companies like Impact, because the criticism is, you know, here's WWE releasing people. AEW is not necessarily doing that, but they're still running shows, and there's been some criticism of, is that safe? They're doing a live show tonight. So they're saying, oh, it's ridiculous that Impact and NJPW and all these other companies can pay their people and not have shows, and yet these major corporation or major companies are saying that they can't. To be fair, and I don't like playing devil's advocate, but there is also, you know, it's worth taking into account that those companies have TV deals, which they have to honor, and they have to produce some sort of programming, and so they've been having to do those things. So what I understood was Ethan Page was kind of throwing a little shade in the direction of them saying Impact has done such a good job for me, you know, surely these other people can do so. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's why it was kind of a story of them saying, hey, other companies have managed to figure out ways to pay their people. But again, they don't have a TV deal on it. Well, I mean, Impact, obviously. Well, no, they don't right now, do they?
They have that Twitch deal.
Right. Wait, you can watch them on Twitch?
Yeah, you can't. Believe it or not, they are on Twitch. You can watch Impact. Son of a bitch.
I have a free Twitch account.
Yeah, you can watch Impact.
I did not know you could watch Impact on Twitch. Oh, my God. That changes everything.
I can't believe Ace has never told you that.
This is a game changer.
Ace is at home right now fuming. It's not because he's listening to the show. He doesn't know why. But something right mad. Now has just, yeah.
He felt a disturbance in the force.
That's it.
Remember, Asa, if you can hear me soothing, RoboCop. Although, when I watched did you guys watch the RoboCop trailer?
Yeah.
I haven't yet. I need to watch that and the other trailer you put in the group chat for that HBO show.
Oh, yeah, that looks fantastic. Lovecraft Country. I had no idea what that was. And then I heard it's a J.J. Abrams, Jordan Peele, and it's a
Is it an anthology series?
No, this is a straight-up story thing. It's set in the Jim Crow era, I think 1950s, and it's about a family of black people who are searching for his dad, and they end up in Lovecraft Country or Lovecraft County or something like that. And you think it's just this kind of historical drama type thing, but I knew from the title, Lovecraft Country, something's going to be weird. And then boom, monsters. It's like a Lovecraftian thing. So I'm excited about it. Anyway.
That's cool.
Speaking of monsters, Dragon Gate announced that their annual King of Gate tournament will start May 15th behind closed doors, but will air live on the Dragon Gate network. And that kind of ties into another thing that's sort of got everybody a little bit depressed, and that is that New Japan Pro Wrestling has canceled the Best of Super Juniors tournament. Dalton, I'm not someone that watches New Japan Pro Wrestling a lot, but how important is the Best of Super Juniors tournament?
It's given us so many current stars in America, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
I mean, current and past, like, the standouts in Best of Super Juniors, you're looking at people like Jushin Thunder Liger, you're looking at Chris Jericho, you're looking at Will Ospreay, Ricochet, the Ricochet-Ospreay exchange, one of those happened in the Best of the Super Juniors. It's up there with the G1 tournament in importance. I love watching Best of Super Juniors. I actually probably will go do that now after we get done, just because I love watching them. But it's a big bummer that that's the case.
Explain to me real quick, because when you hear Super Juniors, my first thought is like cruiserweights, but that's not the case, is it?
It does air to be, or it does tend to air on the side of smaller workers.
If I remember correctly, back in the day, like Benoit and Guerrero were in on this, right?
Yeah.
They both in part, so it's like they're lighter guys, but not necessarily like,
yeah,
like you said, cruiserweights. So,
yeah, because in New Japan, they don't do it by, they do it kind of by size, but not weight per se, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's if you look small, you're good.
Yeah. So, and they also do it on kind of like a call-up system. Like, so if you have a wrestler that's in the juniors that goes up to heavyweight, it's always a really big deal.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I meant. Like, you can start as a junior, but it has nothing to do with your weight, and then you can get upgraded, right?
Yeah. Now, if you're like Aki Bono, you're not going to be a junior because you're 400 pounds.
Wait, did he wrestle there?
I mean, he might have. Aki Bono was the only sumo wrestler I can think of off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
He didn't go to Yokozuna right out of the gate.
You know, he was Samoan.
I know. Yes, I know.
Yeah. and Aki Bono was from America, I'm pretty sure.
What about Tony Rocky Horror?
I have no idea.
Hunter,
anyway.
You remember Tony Rocky Horror?
I don't.
I think he gave the best foot massages.
Oh, you talking about Jones Barbecue and foot massage?
Okay, I'm talking about Pulp Fiction. I'm just going to move on.
Oh,
it's
it's
been so long since anyone's seen Pulp Fiction. No one knows.
The last time I watched that movie was the first time Sarah watched it, and that's got to have been 2 or 3 years ago.
It's a good movie, but I don't think it's a great movie.
It's a good movie, but it's not a movie I would watch over and over. That's really what it is for me. It's not a Tarantino. Like, there are a lot of Tarantino movies I will watch multiple times. That's one that I saw, and I was like, okay, I've seen this. And then Sarah hadn't seen it, and I'm like, I'll watch it again. And that's kind of it.
All right, so off topic, real quick, what's the worst Quentin Tarantino movie? It's easy.
Ooh.
It's Death Proof, by far.
Yeah.
Is that exclusively his? Because also I disagree. I like that movie more than you guys do.
Well, Death Proof was Tarantino, and then Planet Terror was Rodriguez.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was thinking that somebody had a hand in both of those. I'm gonna be controversial. I didn't like Jackie Brown all that much.
I've never seen it.
I know a lot of people did, and to be fair, I have not seen it since the early 2000s. But I was not really all that into that one in particular.
I never watched that one.
Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet?
No, not yet.
You really need to. I think you would like it. We've got it, as a matter of fact. I need to just let you borrow it sometime, or maybe I don't know if it's on a streaming service or not, but. It's a long
I also didn't
movie
like Kill Bill.
It's really good. I was not into either one of the Kill Bills.
I thought they were okay. I always liked Robert Rodriguez better. We've actually had this argument on the shows before because Robert Rodriguez made From Dusk Till Dawn and Desperado, which are two of my favorite fucking films of all time. So
yeah.
Anyway, congrats
but Django.
To. Oh, he didn't. Make
oh,
Django.
Django. You mean DeJango?
DeJango. Yeah.
Well, the D is silent.
Shannon, where's Hildy?
That's what she said.
Where's Hildy, Shannon?
She's in the hot box.
What's she doing in there?
What do you think she's doing in there? In the hot box.
quickly, before we move on from this, I know we got way away from it, but they may not be the same thing, but I'm curious about, so Dragon Gate is going to do their tournament behind closed doors. NJPW is canceling their tournament. What was the, granted, I know they're in two different countries, but what's the distinction? Why is one completely canceled but the other is just going to happen behind closed doors? Does that have something to do with their – I mean, the Dragon Gate network, is that – I mean, NJPW's got their own network, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could just be them making a choice. I mean, like, you know, like how our states in here in America are – certain states are taking certain precautions. Dragon Gate may have just said, fuck it, let's do it. And New Japan said, no, we're not going to risk it.
Because I don't know a whole lot about Dragon Gate, like, currently. I don't know if they're on a contract system. You could be looking at a situation where they've already paid for this show and they've paid for the talent. So they're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas New Japan, their wrestlers are on contract usually. And they're like, you know what? Never mind. Let's just let's cut our losses.
Yeah.
Because New Japan is the WWE of Japan, right? Or has been for the longest time. They can afford to not do shows.
Right.
And be fine. Because it's not the only wrestling company in Japan, but it is the biggest with, like, the biggest stars. So the second they, like, if their next show isn't if it's Wrestle Kingdom 15, I think, if it ends up being Wrestle Kingdom, they'll still sell out the Tokyo Dome.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, they'll definitely sell out the Tokyo Dome because it'll be, like, the first big wrestling thing that happened since this virus.
Well,
now, I don't know if that's going to happen, but...
I don't know if I don't know, man, because I know it's big, but you saw WrestleMania didn't pull in any fans, and that's the biggest wrestling event in America. that arena was basically empty.
Oh, well, they were trying to get in.
Still had barricades though. That baffled me.
speaking of COVID-19, all AEW crew and talent that are going to be on tonight's live broadcast tested negative for COVID-19. So
you mean we're on tonight's broadcast because it just ended.
Oh.
Literally just now, yeah.
Who won? Doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'm watching NXT, and Adam Cole retained the NXT title over Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Dalton, you're going to have to help me out here. Who's the dude in the khakis? Because I haven't watched in a couple of weeks.
In NXT?
Yeah.
I think you have to be a little bit more specific than who's the dude in the khaki.
It looks like it's literally his wrestling gear. He had like these kind of khaki pants on and black gloves, blonde hair.
Dexter Loomis.
Dexter Loomis.
He's been there
I read the name.
Yeah, he's been there for a while. Well, that's Samuel Shaw.
He came out from under the ring to stop Fish not O'Reilly. What's his name? Strong.
Kyle O'Reilly?
Roderick Strong.
Did you watch Impact like 6 years ago?
No.
Okay, that's Samuel Shaw, though.
I haven't watched Impact in, probably 10 years. I mean, legitimately
Thank you
back
for
when
saying,
Hogan and Bischoff were there.
Bischoff.
Thank you for saying gloves, though, because I wouldn't have figured out who it was until you said gloves and khakis. I was like, oh, that's Dexter Loomis.
After a minute, that's what I knew had to give it away.
Isn't that the bad guy from Halloween? Samuel Loomis.
Samuel Loomis.
Yeah. Which I found out today, by the way, and I know we're getting off topic a lot, but this is what happens when the guy that knows all the wrestling stories isn't on the show. They're making a Halloween. I read that they're pushing these movies back, but they're not pushing back Halloween Kills or Halloween Ends. And I was like, well, what are both of those? And apparently Halloween Kills is the sequel to the Halloween that came out a couple years ago. And it was coming out this year. And then Halloween Ends was coming out next year. And my thought on that was like, well, first off, did you guys see Halloween?
Yes.
I know
I've seen the newest one. I know the classic ones.
It had a good ending. Hunter.
I liked it.
Yeah, and they're dragging the character out again.
Hey,
for
what
two
a surprise.
Movies.
You mean they're going to take a horror franchise and milk it till it's way beyond its prime? No, the hell you say.
But they did that once already. And
yes,
then they
did it twice already. They did a second Rob Zombie movie, and it was awful.
Yeah, and now they're doing it again when they had a perfectly good ending to the series, and instead they want to milk it. Oh,
and
that's
what
so
really baffles me about this one is that it's not like it was in the 80s and the 70s and 80s and even 90s for that matter, when you introduce one and it gets overwhelmed, you go, well, we got to drag this out as long as we can. That one that came out, was it last year or the year before?
I think it was the year before.
It feels like it was 2018. When that came out, I mean, it did well, and that was good, but then, you know, here we are 2 years later, and we don't have another one. Just leave it at that.
Just let it die.
I don't even like that naming convention. Kills and Ends. It makes it sound like Michael Myers' name is Halloween. Halloween Kills. Why do I need to see the movie? You already told me what happened.
Jamie Lee Curtis is sitting scared, and they're like, oh my God, what's that? And she goes, it's Halloween. He's going to kill us. Back to the wrestling news. And this is exciting for me, because this was always my fighting franchise growing up. While everybody else was playing the Mortal Kombats and the Street Fighters, I was playing King of Fighters because I had emulators. So I downloaded all of the like MAME ROMs and I played the shit out of King of Fighters. King of Fighters has announced a WWE partnership for their mobile game, which is called King of Fighters All-Star. I knew that they were doing this, or that they were making this King of Fighters game, because again, King of Fighters is legit one of my favorite fighting franchises of all time. But apparently they're going to be putting WWE characters in the King of Fighters game.
That'll be the best WWE game to come out this year.
Oh, well, except it's a mobile game.
No, I said what I meant.
And I think it's a gacha game.
It definitely is.
I still said what I meant.
I'm downloading it right now.
Are you really?
Just to see. I play a lot of games on my phone.
Now you can you can have that ever classic matchup that we never thought we would have: Roman Reigns versus Duck King.
Versus who?
Duck King.
Tumbleweed, because you kept cutting out, so I could not hear you.
I said Duck King.
Okay, thank God. I just kept hearing who? King. Who? King.
Yes,
and I thought you were
messing
with me.
The best part is when this all gets matched up, my audio's still there, so I'm just going to be, it's going to be like the beginning of a rap song. Who? Duck King. Who? Duck King.
Well, I think now the point is that we have to give you a rap album under the name Duck King.
Duck King.
We got to go back and do your album that we never got to complete.
Oh, Parker, How Am I Still
Parker
Alive?
Was on there. No.
The one where, wasn't it A Friend or A Fan?
A Fan.
Somebody asked you how I could get away with it.
Yeah, it was Aaron.
No,
it was
Danny.
Jake. It was Jake.
Yeah, Jake.
Yeah, he was the one who could not believe that you were getting away with making this album.
Because guest stars on there, like, I forget who I had that I lied about, but they were pretty
Parker
funny.
Was on one song.
Well, do we all remember the ill-fated PZ85 wrestling organization?
Oh yeah, that was the best.
Where Tony Flood congratulated us on getting a wrestling organization because he thought we were being serious.
If you remember correctly, Big Lee messaged Jason and was like, "Are they serious? Are they seriously opening up a wrestling federation against us?" Yes. We are opening up, small-time podcasters are opening up a wrestling federation with the likes of, who was on there?
Native Art.
Hack Silver.
What'd you say, Hunter?
Hack Silver. And Native American Jolan.
Native American Jolan. That was my favorite. The Flex Offenders, obviously.
The Flex Offenders.
That was good wrestling.
Terrible.
My favorite one will forever be Justin Smart being on it.
I think Quadruple H was also involved. He's twice as good as me.
He was Justin the Juice Smart was like this. I hate to tell Justin this. He wasn't the headliner. That was definitely Native American Jolan. I don't know how we got that guy. Anyway, moving on. WWE selling face masks with all proceeds going to AmeriCares.
Yeah, some of these were kind of cool. I didn't see a whole list of them or anything, but definitely one of them was the bottom half of Kane's mask. So that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see.
I think one
cool.
was the Fiend too, wasn't it?
Probably. I feel like you're right. Is that where they are? They're on the WWE shop?
I'm willing to put money that they're there. WWEshop.com.
This guy gambles too much.
That all of these proceeds are going to America. It's like, if it was one of those, some of the proceeds,
a
I would really be questioning. Yeah, I'd be questioning how much of this was actually going to the charity. Because I hate when things do that. It's like proceeds of this go to it. And then you find out it's like 2 cents on the dollar.
Right.
But they can get away with that because by saying portions of it, well, that's a portion. It's a shitty portion, but it's a portion.
To be fair. Okay, never mind. That's good. No. Cuz net is, it says WWE is donating 100% of net proceeds to AmeriCares.
Mm.
Yeah. And in total fairness, they do have some really cool ones. The really really cool ones are the Kane mask, the Fiend mask, and then Mustafa Ali's mask.
So
the rest of them are like logos and shit.
So the fact that it's net, for the record, for anybody who's not, up on that, means that it's after all their expenses and taxes and deductions and stuff. So basically after everything is paid for, then the rest of the money goes to there. So the fact that they're selling them, that's great, but they still have to pay for themselves first. WWE's not taking a hit on this.
Would you have just been just as, like, would it have been a big deal if they just sold him and didn't give any of the money away?
What do you mean?
No.
I mean, that would, I think I would have been more okay with that. Because then at least then it wouldn't be like, I wouldn't have to think, well, how much is it really going? Whereas if they were just selling them, I would be like, cool.
I mean, yeah, but at the end of the day, like, any money, anything's better than nothing.
Right.
I guess that's true.
I'm seeing, how many ones did you name what they were, Dalton?
The cool ones I named off. Okay. I can go down the list really quick.
I mean, I'm just looking at an image, and like, I do like that. Yeah, the Fiend's mask is on there. Kane's mask is on there. But then a lot of them are just logos.
Yeah, like, so I'll do it really quick because I can rattle them off.
Okay.
Triple H, Fiend, Flair, Edge, Macho Man, NWO, Seth Rollins, Mustafa Ali, Women's Championship Belt, Men's Championship Belt, Warrior, New Day, Heavy Machinery, Bianca Belair has a mask, NXT, Up, Up, Down, Down, John Cena, Kane, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch.
I do like that Up, Up, Down, Down got one out of nowhere. That's kind of cool.
I'm more thrown off by Bianca Belair getting one, but
yeah, that seems like the most random one. You would think it'd be Mustafa Ali, but I'm assuming that his is his logo.
It's the mask. Right. No, it's his mask.
Or that's what I mean. Yeah, it's not a logo. It's his, yeah.
Yeah, yes. That's one of the cool ones. I'm checking to see if Pro Wrestling Tees has any masks. Oh, they do.
I saw some Ghostbusters ones that looked really cool on my Instagram earlier.
Yeah, they were. Oh, GhostbustersFans.com was doing a donation run of them. You could like donate to get them funded.
Yeah, yeah.
So AEW has a set of masks, but it looks like theirs already sold out. Darby Allin's is at least.
Is it the half painted face?
Yeah, so is Chris Jericho's. So I would say go to Pro Wrestling Tees if you're an AEW fan, but it looks like that shit's sold out too.
If Jericho's doesn't say a little bit of the bubbly, then I don't want
it. No, it just says Le Champion.
Ah, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
A man gets away with the most random shit, dude, and turns it into gold.
I will say the cool thing, well, not the cool thing, but like the people being released on the 15th is it has legit just opened up so many good interviews with people. Like Matt Cardona has been doing a lot of interviews recently, and it's really like, it's cool getting to hear these people not being censored by WWE anymore, just being like, they can talk about whatever they want.
Yeah. And really, like, that's way more important than getting a paycheck. If I could get a good interview out of it, you know?
Well, I mean, a lot of those guys, like, you're such a piece of shit sometimes.
What?
Oh, Luchasaurus's mask is pretty cool.
Oh.
But no, like, I've enjoyed just, like, the wrestling interviews recently of just, like, people being like, yeah, no, so let's talk about stuff. And it's never, like, nobody's been super, like, hateful yet.
Well, but that's because you got to feel like they're thinking that they're going to go back at some point. You really don't want to burn that bridge.
Yeah, well, like, some of them were, you assume, like, the ones that didn't happen right away, like, Axel probably asked for his release, or they just thought about it, and they were like, never mind, just go. Ryder literally said he was sitting around waiting for his.
Which is crazy, because you would think that, I always thought that Zack Ryder would have a job for life. Like, I don't know, even though they didn't do a lot with him, and he was really mistreated, he's one of those guys, like, you know, the Fink, and all these other people that it just... It felt like they had a job forever because,
right.
I don't know, they didn't do anything with him, but he was also always there. I mean, that was the basis of his t-shirt, wasn't it? Always there?
Yeah, still that there. Was one of them.
And now he's not, and that's why not his shirt there. Is now not there. Yeah.
Nope, not there, you're right.
Last thing, Variety, a former writer for Variety claims that Becky Lynch will appear in an upcoming MCU project, which could be cool. Becky, she was just on, what was that show, Millionaires? Or
Billions.
Billionaires?
Billions.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. I think she got rave reviews for that, and I got to support her. I mean, she's Irish, you know. But I do want to point out that Asa wrote her name as Becky Lunch.
I was hoping you would do that.
I just noticed it. Becky Lunch. So maybe this is a different person.
My curiosity immediately goes to MCU project doesn't necessarily mean movie, but then again, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the last show, and that's already filmed for its last season because that debuts later this month. So it almost has to be a movie.
Well, they have all those Disney Plus things they're doing.
It could be it, I guess. Yeah, but almost all of those are filmed, I think, because Falcon and the Winter Soldier is done. Something else debuts this fall. WandaVision, I think, is done. I guess it could be Loki, because I think that one's the farthest one out as far as the TV series go. And then the movies, I mean, almost everything they announced is already filmed as well, I think, unless they're doing reshoots. Because, like, Black Widow obviously was done. It's supposed to already be in theaters. Eternals, right. I think they said they wrapped and is already finished. What else is coming up? Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, I guess it could be it.
New Mutants, but that was filmed like 8 years ago.
Yeah, New Mutants is done. That's long since been done.
I want to see it so badly, too. Like, I was so hyped for that movie.
We all know how much you like to hurt yourself.
A superhero horror film looks awesome.
Right, yeah. We know how much you like to hurt yourself.
What?
You know it's not going to be good.
It's going to be good. It's got the girl from The Witch in it.
That'll
fix it. She was still...
Yeah.
It probably won't be bad. I mean...
If you rewind to this part in the podcast, you can actually hear his heart break.
Yeah, a heart can't break. It's a muscle. It can tear. She tore my heart out. She didn't break it.
So, all right, let's do this. And I don't know that it would be a specific character, but, like, knowing that this is the case, let's say that it's confirmed. What do you want to see her do?
I guarantee she's a soldier in the army. She is whoever the like main army guy is that meets up with some superhero at some point. She's like his first lieutenant or something. It is going to be such a secondary back role. She'll probably have like two lines of dialogue. She'll get to throw a drop kick or something.
The real story is that WWE has partnered on a stealth project with Marvel Studios, and it's the Marine Nine.
I'm assuming it's going to be like George St. Pierre in The Winter Soldier, where she's going to be like a fight battle with somebody. Fight scene. Shut up. As it left my mouth, I was like, those weren't the words
you
wanted.
Becky Lunch in a fight battle. God damn it. Who was the girl that was in Deadpool? Because she was also an MMA fighter, wasn't she?
Gina.
Was that Gina Carano?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's also the Mandalorian. It's the same girl, right?
Yeah. She was
Cara Dune.
I forget what her name was.
Cara
but
Dune.
Also, to bring this full circle to what we said earlier, I want to mention, do you know who's directing season 2 of The Mandalorian?
Taika Waititi? No.
Robert Rodriguez.
Thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
they had
Taika
a picture
Waititi,
of him on set with Baby Yoda.
Taika Waititi is doing a Star Wars movie, though. Some theatrical release movie. They just haven't confirmed anything beyond that, I don't think.
I think it's the Mos Eisley 5 starring Charles Barkley.
Terrible.
Where is the school?
Where is the school?
You talk to him and they use different languages. Y'all make me feel stupid.
Wait, the dog could talk too? I thought he was just making dog noises. I told him a lot of things, a lot of personal things.
Oh,
all right, last thing we get out of here. Money in the Bank. Yes.
I have the card pulled up.
Hey, me
is
too.
It this Sunday? I also
it
have
is
it
this Sunday.
Up.
There's
first
only,
off,
if I'm reading it right, there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches?
6 matches. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yikes.
Are we watching this live together?
I mean, we can Zoom or like Skype each other.
Not unless somebody wants to hook me up with a network logo, because I'm not paying $10 for this.
Well, I didn't know if we were going to get together at the store, because there's somebody that wanted to come and be part of it, and I told her, I don't know if we're actually watching it in the store.
Yeah, well, I've been told I'm going to be busy the next day, so probably not this time.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
Right?
Never mind. Dalton, let's go over the card. Let's leave
Hunter
him out of this.
Hunter's here. He can help.
I can handle it. All right. So let's go. I'm going to read upward from where I have, because I'm assuming the Money in the Bank matches are going to be the end of the night. So we'll start with the SmackDown.
Are you on Wikipedia?
No, I'm on CBS Sports.
Okay.
So we'll start
I'm on
with
WWE.com.
The SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the New Day is going to be defending against the Forgotten Sons, Miz and Morrison, and Lucha House Party. Well, very clearly, Lucha House Party is going to win, right?
I hope so. Like, unironically, I hope they win.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen.
I know, but
There's
I hope
no
they
way
win.
That happens. They point out
honestly,
here that the Forgotten Sons pinned the New Day and Lucha House Party. Defeated Miz and Morrison on the past couple episodes of SmackDown, but all of them have been thrown into this fatal four-way. I feel like
my money's kind of on the Forgotten Sons.
Mine too. I was gonna say it feels like just bringing them in, they're the ones that kind of need that heat, and they're already getting a little bit of it anyway. So throw it on them, or not throw it on them, but give it to them and see what they can do with it.
I'm also glad that Wesley Blake's in it, because he was the other guy from
Murphy,
Blake and Murphy,
Blake and Murphy, right? Yeah, and Murphy has done so well for himself at times.
Yeah.
It's because he's really talented.
You don't think Blake's talented?
I don't think he's nearly as good. Although I did, there was somebody, I think it was Aubrey Sitterson, whenever he had a podcast, he was like, the unfortunate thing is they're both Marty Jannetty. And
yikes.
That's cold
at least,
ice.
At least Alexa came out of there looking nice.
Yeah, she was the Michaels.
So I mean, hey, don't feel bad to Murphy, because for the longest time, he and Alexa Bliss were an item. They lived together. He clearly did well for himself.
I think
they got a pig and everything.
I think we're all in agreement that the Forgotten Sons are probably coming out of this one with the titles.
I think so.
God, I hope not, but you're probably right.
Yeah. All right, so then the SmackDown Women's Championship. Oh, boy. Bayley is going to defend against Tamina.
All right, so this match is probably going to be bowling shoe ugly.
Yo, yeah.
But I will give it to Tamina that I lost interest in her a long time ago, but I have kind of been a fan of her recent stuff that she's been doing. So I'm hoping that this is entertaining. I don't think it's going to be a great match, but I also am not going to completely write Tamina out of this. I hope she can do a really good job with it because I have liked what she's been doing.
All of that being said, there is literally no way she wins the title here.
Unless this is where they pulled the trigger on Sasha Banks or something,
yeah,
and Sasha cost Bayley
like
the title.
I feel like they're building to the... That would be counterproductive because I think Sasha is building to winning the title from Bayley. So I think it would not be... It wouldn't be in her plan to cost her the title there. I think it would
absolutely, which is exactly why they would do it, because they're dumb fuck... They're dumb fuck.
Yeah, because... In fairness, the money isn't in a number one contendership match. It's in a title match. So I'm with Hunter on this. It's Bayley.
Yeah. I
because
I understand the logic like behind them. Why Tamina might win it, but no, I think Bayley's going to.
I think Bayley's going to win too, but I could see them just randomly putting on Tamina and going like, there you go.
She's they could, from that point on, say she's a former women's champion. All right, so then that's going to bring us to the Universal Championship. Braun Strowman is going to defend against Bray Wyatt, the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Man,
I wanted to like this matchup so much more, and I think the reason I don't like it as much is because of Braun Strowman. He doesn't interest me. Bray Wyatt is fantastic as the Fiend, and they have so much history together, but I don't know. I feel like Bray Wyatt does so much better than Braun Strowman. I hate that Braun Strowman has the title anyway. Because it felt like they wasted him for years. And
it was awful nice.
Out there.
Yeah, it was awful nice of them to put the title on Braun Strowman, you know, like 4 years too late.
Right. Striking while the iron's hot. That's like when they put out the Alien versus Predator Requiem game on PSP years after the movie came out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good idea.
I'll ask, to me, this is the more interesting question here. Should this be a regular match, or should this be... All right, there's two ends of the spectrum. Regular wrestling match, Firefly Funhouse match from WrestleMania. Where does this need to land?
It needs to be regular.
It's going to be regular, yeah.
Well, okay, but... excuse me. Let's put it as a spectrum. There's a sliding scale between those two. You're saying this needs to be literally no shenanigans, nothing, just a straight-up wrestling match?
Well, are you saying do we think it should, or do
I'm
we
asking,
like
yeah,
do we
what,
do we
what
want it to be, or
what should they do to make this good?
Dalton, I'll let you go first.
It should just be a regular wrestling match, and let the Fiend be the Fiend. What they're probably going to do is going to be an in between. So I don't think quite maggots being projected on the floor, but I do think that we're going to have either a red lighting, or there's going to be at least one light flip the entire night. Where like the lights are going to go out once. But they don't need to go full cinematic because this feud does not warrant that yet.
No,
but I
so
also
you're thinking
think
this
that they
is going to continue beyond.
Oh,
this.
Go ahead.
You're thinking this is going to continue beyond this is what you're saying.
I mean, if we aren't having live crowds yet, yes. The issue I have is they're putting Bray back in the title picture, and this is the exact opposite thing they need to be doing with Bray Wyatt right now, because you're putting him in must win for this character to mean something.
Yeah, it's like when they wrote him into a corner against Seth Rollins, and they had him go for the title, and he couldn't really win the title yet, but they screwed it up so badly that they had to put the title on him anyway just to redeem him. And now you've got a similar situation. He lost the title to Goldberg, which was a mistake. He beat John Cena in, and Ace is not here, so I can say it, a stupid, stupid, stupid segment. Which was massively entertaining, don't get me wrong. Massively entertaining, completely baffling on a, like if you're a wrestling purist level, I'm not gonna shit on it. And I loved it, but I also won't say that if you're like looking for a serious sport, you weren't insulted. But with that said, now you've got him going against Braun Strowman, which he should absolutely win. because he should absolutely win every feud because he's literally been killed and murdered and destroyed and can't be stopped. So why am I ever to believe that anyone can beat him? That is the dumbest thing. When you write a character so strong that you literally have to like blow him up just to put him down. Once you start having him lose matches against people, no matter how good they are, it completely destroys the immersion and your believability. So now he should go against Braun Strowman, and he should murder Braun Strowman. He should screw with his head. He should dismantle him. But what's going to happen is Braun Strowman's going to, in the end, be strong. Be strong, man. And that's it.
If they're going to have Braun win this, he shouldn't be against Bray. He should be against Daniel Bryan, Aleister Black, Rey Mysterio, King Corbin, Otis, or AJ. Because none of those, like all of those characters can lose and it's fine. You don't put Bray in if Braun's going to win.
So, okay, what about this? Because it just occurred to me across the process of us talking this out. You know, back when Bray was the champion and he defended against The Miz, he wasn't The Fiend for that match. He was Bray Wyatt. Would this not be better if it was Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend?
Bray Wyatt, are you talking about like Firefly Funhouse Bray with the sweater and everything?
Yeah, red sweater and all.
I think he's undefeated.
Well, he is.
I think he's, because the only time he's wrestled like that was against The Miz. You don't put Bray in this match. Unless you have him win, you do not put Bray in this match.
Okay, but again, what I'm saying is we have what we have to work with. Let's say the match is set in stone. Would it not be better to just use Red Sweater, Firefly, Funhouse, Bray Wyatt, rather than The Fiend, who, again, does... If it's The Fiend versus Braun Strowman, I think we're all in agreement that nobody there can suffer a loss at this point to the
other. Here's what I absolutely hate about this, and this is what I hate every time you have a character that has like an alter ego, like the Finn Balor, and then he has the demon Finn Balor. You present this alternate version of the person that is so overpowered that it makes you wonder why the hell would they ever wrestle as a regular version if they can just put some paint on and suddenly they're unbeatable and they've got 15 SmackDowns already saved up.
At the very least, in The Fiend's case, it makes sense only on the level of, well, he's crazy. You can hand wave anything away by saying, well, he's crazy, so he really doesn't have any control over what it is he does and doesn't do. I get your point with Finn Balor, because he was never presented as insane. He was very calculating, and yeah, he brought out the demon for the big matches. So the question becomes, why does he do it all the time? That's just a suspension of disbelief thing. In this case, again, I think you just hand wave it away as, well, he's insane. He doesn't play by the rules, et cetera, et cetera.
I could see them doing Bray Wyatt instead of The Fiend in this particular case, because they do have the history where Bray Wyatt was the one that brought Braun Strowman in. So you could have Bray go against Braun in this one because he maybe feels responsible for him, or he maybe, you know, he has some attachment. And then when you have Braun beat Bray, you could follow this up next month or however long with The Fiend, who is now, you know, now that Bray has been hurt by Braun, The Fiend is going to come out to protect Bray against Braun.
Because that's kind of what I'm thinking. That seems like the most logical way to make this work in some form or fashion. That being said, nobody thinks Bray's taking the title here, right?
I don't know. He is, but he needs to.
I honestly don't know. I thought for sure Braun was going to keep it, but Braun does nothing for me as champion.
Yeah.
Like, his whole character is that he's just big and tough, but beyond that, I really don't know. He started out as a cult guy. He still kind of has the cult look. I just don't get him, other than he's... You know, you talk about Bray Wyatt and how strong The Fiend is. Here's a guy that literally pushes over ambulances and is so strong that he can rip men in half. So why the hell would anyone ever beat him? You have two people that are going against each other that aren't organically tough. Like, it's not like Hogan versus Warrior, where it was like, okay, you have these two larger-than-life personalities. They're jacked. You can tell these guys are superheroes. They're going to fight. You have two guys that they have told you are that way. They told you that Bray Wyatt can lift, you know, ambulances. They told you that Braun Strowman could do that. That The Fiend is basically a cartoon character who can murder puppets and bring you into a warped reality that somehow actually exists, but not really, but just don't worry about it. So it feels like a mistake all over, and I don't know who's going to win. I actually think Bray Wyatt might win.
Okay. That'll take us then to the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre is going to defend against Seth Rollins.
This is the opposite. Drew McIntyre is definitely winning that shit.
I hope so.
Man,
there ain't no doubt about this.
I think this is the first time I've said this on the show, but you guys have heard me talk about this before. I also agree Drew McIntyre is going to retain over Rollins. am the this is my wrestling sin right now. I don't get Drew McIntyre. I get that he is charismatic, and I get that he's big and handsome and that he's talented and all that, but no part of me sees Drew McIntyre come out of the ring and go, yes, I'm so excited to watch this. I just don't get the guy. I really don't.
This is one of those times that whenever they push a guy like that, I get this counterculture thing where I hate, and you know this, I hate when something gets so popular or whatever. But with Drew McIntyre, I'm the exact opposite. I think Drew McIntyre is amazing. And for every reason you just said, he is super handsome. He's super jacked. He's tall. He looks so believable, and in an organic way. Like when he comes out and he's got a personality. They haven't forced some dumbass gimmick on him where he's, you know, a cartoon character. They haven't had him push over buildings to show how tough he is. He just comes out and looks like a real wrestler and a badass and funny. I think he is special. Drew McIntyre is special.
And this is why I make a point to say I get all of the elements about it. It's just for whatever reason, for me personally, it just doesn't click. I feel like it's kind of like with you and CM Punk. You for many years talked about, you know, I get CM Punk is super talented. He has a great wrestling voice and acumen and all those things. I just don't personally, for whatever reason, it just doesn't hit. For me, it's that way with Drew McIntyre. I 100% agree, and I would never put the guy down because he is. He's super talented. He's got the look. He's got the charisma. Just personally, for whatever reason, it just does not click. So I'm personally not super interested in this match. But yeah, there's no way Seth Rollins wins the title here. Matter of fact, now that I'm looking over the way that this played out, I'm really wondering, and I know that Kevin Owens is out with an injury right now, but Rollins got the crap kicked out of him at WrestleMania, and now suddenly he gets a title match. That's okay.
I don't even remember who he wrestled at Mania at this point.
Kevin Owens.
Oh, okay.
And Owens dove off the sign and put him through the table. But Owens,
yeah, he did it for the Juggalos.
He apparently suffered.
And Juggalettes.
He ripped
that
shirt.
Fuck that shit.
He suffered an injury, I guess, probably in the process of that, so he's been out since then. So, you know, this was something I saw some criticism of earlier this week when they brought AJ back on Raw, who apparently did not die in the Boneyard. He said, you don't even know how you – there's no way to lose a Boneyard match, so he's fine. He came back. There's no rules. There's no rules. He said it doesn't matter. He buried me. Well, that doesn't mean he won.
Wait a minute. That's why Gallows and Anderson got fired. He was supposed to stay dead, but they dug up their buddy.
They kept him. They brought him back. He was supposed to
stay dead. They sacrificed their careers to bring him back to life. That's how much they loved him.
That's what it was. That's my headcanon.
I love AJ as a heel, and I think a lot of people do too. And I think he's great either way. I think he makes a great face or heel. But they brought AJ back as a heel. They kept that rolling. And to me, it's a little questionable because Raw is not exactly lacking in the way of top heels to challenge Drew McIntyre, and you know that AJ's got to be on that list somewhere. What Raw is lacking in is top faces right now, and boy, they really could have used AJ on that side of things. Not to completely derail the conversation here, but that was kind of a bizarre move to me. They could have brought him back as a face, and it would have worked. I mean, they absolutely could have done the Undertaker beat the respect into me, I get it, etc., move on. But
I think that's a common problem with wrestling is you always have so many heels and not enough faces.
Well, it's so
and especially not enough believable faces.
Right. I don't want to say it's so much easier, but I think we all generally agree, having been on that side of the fence, that it is generally be easier to be a heel than it is a face.
Yeah.
It's easier because you don't have as many restrictions. Like when I go out there and I cut promos, I know the world's my oyster. I can say whatever I want. I can insult people to their face. I can be funny. I can be charming, but I can also be dastardly. I can be rude. When you're a face, it's like you have to follow that rule book of, you know, here are the basics, and you can't be aggressive. You can't do this and that. It's I don't know. It's more difficult to be the good guy and less fun usually.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, that's because everyone they sort of love you. Now you're a bad guy though, so. And remember, you are in House 100. I have to remind him of this constantly.
Everyone loves the jester.
But no, I get what I agree with you, what you're saying, but I don't think enough time has passed for AJ to come back as face.
Well,
also,
frankly, I don't think enough time passed for him to come back at all. But you know, if you believe the dirt sheets, the ratings were dipping, and they said call AJ.
Hey, at least he was the one they went to.
That's true.
Like, I'm surprised they said call in AJ if the ratings are down. I'm surprised they didn't just, you know, bring back Undertaker again or Austin or something.
When Roman's
well, apparently
on
Roman's
screen,
on the outs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole other thing we didn't talk about.
Wait, what was that? Who's on the outs?
Roman. Reigns.
Yeah, I saw something about them scrubbing him from a WrestleMania video or something, but I don't know what it was. What is that?
I'm reasonably sure they're not too happy that he bowed out of WrestleMania.
Dude had leukemia.
I know. Believe me. I don't kill the messenger.
Like, holy shit. If they're that fucking petty that they're going to punish the guy they've been pushing to the moon for the past 5 years.
How long you been doing this show? You know they're that petty.
Oh, they're definitely that petty.
I mean, you can look down the line of top people they had that they've completely turned their back on. Moxley, Punk.
Yeah, but you know Roman was different. Like, you could tell Roman was, like, the golden
beast. Yeah, no, he definitely was until he said he was not going to Mania.
Well, I am 100% on Roman Reigns' side on this forever.
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
All right, so we got two matches left to go, and they are indeed the Money in the Bank matches. Now, it is important to note that we also found out this week, first of all, this is the Climb the Corporate Ladder Money in the Bank match. So they start at the bottom of Titan Tower, they make their way to the top, the ring is on the roof, and then there's a ladder, and that leads to the case, the Money in the Bank case. Also, again, important to note, these two matches are happening consecutively.
This is so
stupid. Meaning that the women will be climbing the tower at the same time as the men. The women's and men's Money in the Bank matches are happening simultaneously. There are actually two rings on the roof with the cases hanging above them.
That is so fucking stupid.
No part of me understands why. What's the point?
So I guess I thought about this, and I guess the only reason I could think of doing it this way is because you don't want to have the same match twice.
Of them both running up the tower and everything simultaneously.
Yeah, you don't want to have the girls do it first, and then the guys go up the same exact, like, you know, maybe a different spot, but the same exact thing. So I could see that reason. But otherwise, I agree with you.
Also, it's super important to note that I'm looking in these ladder matches, and there's not a single person, except maybe Rey Mysterio, that I want to see in a ladder match.
AJ Styles?
Just looking at the men's match in general.
Oh, no, AJ's in there.
Daniel Bryan?
Otis?
Okay, so quickly, before we go any further with the discussion, we should probably run down who's in them. The women's Money in the Bank competitors are Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Carmella. And then the men's participants are, again, Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles, Aleister Black, Otis, and King Corbin.
You're going to hear me say this twice for both, once for each match. One of these things is not like the other. Otis and Dana Brooke. Like,
okay, that's who I thought.
Yeah, I'm glad they're in the match, don't get me wrong, because I love Otis. Everyone knows how much we love Otis. His stuff with Mandy Rose is by far my favorite thing in wrestling right now. Yeah.
My Otis delete's coming in a couple weeks. I'm pretty stoked.
Did you guys see the, I think it was like a photo shoot they did with Mandy and Otis? Well, any of them. They're just, like, I get they're making fun of the fact that Otis is overweight. Like, I get it. But it's still kind of sweet and funny.
But, I mean, at a certain point, they're really not making fun of it. They're pointing out, they'll tell you anyway, they're pointing out that anybody could be like this.
And it's absolutely true. You guys have seen me walking around with gorgeous, you know, supermodels constantly in the shape that I'm in.
Oh, thank you for saying that about me.
I mean, there's a lot to discuss here. But, I mean, at the very least, can we pick two winners from either side?
My question, I think more importantly, is do you, and I'm dead serious, who do you think, I think this is going to happen, who's going to take the bump off the roof cinematic style?
For who we've got, let's see, AJ Styles already died once, so, you know, you could throw him off again, it's fine. I do remember seeing somebody say, if AJ's new gimmick is that he continually does things that would cause him to die and then just comes back like Kenny from South Park, I'm fine with it. I could run with that. Stealing, that would be fun.
He's stealing Ramblin' Rabbit shit.
He's gotta get all the way in.
I'll tell you who I think's gonna win and who I want to win.
Okay.
In the men's match, I want Aleister Black to win. Because I think that, just like Drew McIntyre, I think Aleister Black is money if they put the right the rocket on him. But I think more than likely it's gonna be AJ Styles. I think AJ will win. Women's side, I would like either Asuka or Lacey Evans to win, because I genuinely like both of them, but it's going to be Baszler or Nia Jax.
Yep.
I would probably put my money on Baszler because I think they want to push her more, but I could easily see them doing it for Nia because she just came back, and for whatever reason, even though it's never worked out before, they really want to push Nia as the is it Nia or Nia? Do I always get that
one? Nia. It's Nia.
Okay. I see them pushing her as the monster, even though I don't think she's that great. I never have. But whatever. So my money is probably on Baszler and AJ for sure to win. But Asuka or Lacey Evans or Aleister, if I got to pick.
Okay. Dalton, what about you?
I want Daniel Bryan to win the men's one because I'm looking at the I'm looking at the championship matches, and I want Daniel Bryan to wrestle any of those four.
Yeah.
And I also feel like having Daniel Bryan win Money in the Bank is a very smart choice. He's done it before. Also, women's Money in the Bank, I think Lacey Evans is going to take it.
I think she should, but I mean, I guess it depends on who wins the men's. If they have a face win the men's one, I think they're definitely going to have a heel win the women's. I think it's going to be one and one. I don't think they're going to go double on each one.
Well, it's easy. So it's so much easier to ride a heel with the Money in the Bank than it is a face. Like, just empirically, it is easier to ride a cash this in at any time for a championship match. It's so much easier to have a heel have it.
I mean, if you're gonna do it that way, again, you could also take the, and I don't think this has happened since he did it. Maybe I'm forgetting one, but the Rob Van Dam angle of here's the case, here's what I'm doing. I'm telling you up front, this is when I want my match.
Right. I think I want to say somebody else did Cena do but it? I'm not 100% sure. But I know done. That one is the big one because that was also the first one.
Daniel
second
Bryan.
One. Second one.
Bryan did that, except he changed his mind. Because remember, wasn't the thing of he said he was going to face Big Show at like this particular moment. I'm going to fight you here. Yeah. But then when Show was down, he cashed it in and kind of shocked everybody.
That's when he turned heel. Yeah, that's when he kind of officially turned heel that time. So,
right.
Dalton, you're saying Bryan and Lacey Evans, is that also who you want to win or just who you think is going to win?
That's who I want to win. I think Corbin and Baszler are going to win.
Why the fuck would you say that?
Oh, look, he said it before.
Like, I've already had a rough month,
man. I was probably
going to
say the same thing, too. I got a real bad feeling King Corbin has a very good chance of winning that Money in the Bank. I don't want it to be. I also believe Aleister Black is the best choice. I think AJ comes in right behind that, and then Bryan. Actually, I'd put AJ and Bryan on the same level, but personally, I want Aleister Black to win. I think we can all agree Rey Mysterio has basically no chance of winning that match. There's no point.
He has more of a chance than Otis. That's all I'll say.
Ah, man, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they would give it to Otis before they'd give it to Mysterio. I really do. I think it would be more interesting that way.
Well, I think they're going to build toward AJ Styles versus Drew McIntyre. Like, I think that's the...
Yep.
What is, fuck, is AJ on SmackDown or Raw? I don't even remember.
He's on Raw.
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, AJ versus Drew, I think is where they're going to lead.
Yeah.
And I think they'll do Lacey versus Bayley. Because they've already kind of been going with Lacey, going after like Sasha and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but then again, Nia is King Kong. She's Godzilla. They're going to push her like the monster. And she does hurt people like those guys.
She's on Raw too, though. So, or on Raw instead of SmackDown, though. So it wouldn't be, Nia Jax against. Who is?
I don't even know who the Raw.
Who
is
it? It's Becky. It's Becky.
It's Becky.
Yeah.
See, and this is, and I love Becky Lynch. They should have had her drop the title at Mania and then have her in the Money in the Bank match now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. That made no sense when they. And I don't even like Baszler. Like, I don't like Baszler. She bores the shit out of me.
You know what's really weird? I do like Shayna Baszler. I don't know why. And that's to me, for me, she's my opposite of Drew McIntyre. I cannot pinpoint what it is I like about Shayna Baszler, but I do. Something about it just works.
She is Ronda Rousey if Ronda Rousey cared more about professional wrestling.
That's honestly, that's a big part of it.
She comes across to me as a legitimate threat. Like, and I'll give you that too. I'll give you that. She really does. It's just, I don't know. She's boring to me.
Well,
but even being boring to me, her losing at WrestleMania against Becky Lynch was bullshit and a stupid decision.
I think you and I, even though I do and you don't care for her, I think you and I, and probably all three of us will agree, I do hate that dumb spot where she stomps on their elbow, though, where they have their hand back against the mat and she stomps on their elbow to break it. Just move your hand, man. Come on. It's like but that. You it's know like who, that bit where people have to hold themselves up on the ropes for that double stomp. Like, just let go. You don't have to.
When the Undertaker grabs your arm and goes to the top rope, just push
just
him.
Get away.
Or pull him.
Yeah.
When if they she go did to it whip, quicker, it would be fine.
When they go to whip you into the ropes, just don't run.
Don't run.
Oh, I watched that. I watched the Great Antonio versus Antonio Inoki recently. You don't want to do that.
Well, you don't want to do that against Antonio Inoki.
Yeah,
if you're in the ring with, say,
a
Dalton Anthony, just do it.
Oh God, no! I would murder somebody if they did that.
So that's okay.
Be like, all right,
that's the whole existing card. There are two rumored matches that haven't been confirmed, but it is not out of the question. These might be pre-show matches, and that's Sami Zayn putting the Intercontinental title on the line against Drew Gulak. But Zayn has not been seen in a while. That would be a great match. But he hasn't been on TV in weeks. He had first Zayn had his wisdom teeth taken out, and then apparently he ran a little COVID-19 fever there for a while. So,
ooh.
Should he got the COVIDs?
Well, I don't know if he got it. It says that he hadn't been on TV first due to wisdom teeth removal and then presumably due to the coronavirus. And I don't mean to know if that means he got it or they were worried about, because he's coming out of that removal, which is surgery, he might have been susceptible to it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
Then the other was the Raw tag team titles are not. I don't know why I said tag team titles. The crab. The Raw tag team titles are not currently on the line, but the Street Profits could defend against the Viking Raiders. I think it's too early for that match. They really just started building to that.
Yeah, but again, because it's WWE, yeah, they'll probably pull the trigger.
Yeah, it's not out of the question. I don't see, if those two do happen, I don't see either of those titles changing hands just yet.
I think it would be a mistake to take it off the Profits, but again, like, WWE makes dumb decisions. Anyone can go back to WrestleMania, and again, I don't like Shayna Baszler, but look at the Shayna Baszler buildup with Becky Lynch. To have Becky sneak a victory out of her, that's stupid. That's stupid. You ruined the storyline. Like Dalton said, Becky should be chasing for the title. She should be trying to redeem herself. She should not still be in the top spot.
I think you mean,
it makes no sense.
You mean Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. When she had her battle fight.
Fight battle. Dalton fight battle. Where'd he go? Yeah. There he is.
It's sponsored by Fight Milk.
Shut up.
It's made by bodyguards for bodyguards.
All right, we're done for the night. Well, that's all for. We were worried we weren't going to be able to stretch this to an hour. We're at an hour 15.
Real quick before we end up, Dalton, did you? Because I know neither one of us did. Did you watch the new Wrestling with Regret? The new
Dark Side of the Ring.
Dark Side of the Ring yet?
I was super tired yesterday. I'm probably going to watch it tonight.
Is that that's the Herb Abrams one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited for some cocaine stories because that's what that dude was known for.
We will
also Hunter.
We'll either watch it tonight or tomorrow morning. Probably tomorrow at this rate. So
yeah. Also, you're right. There is a new Wrestling with Regret, and it's about fighting
with
my
family.
I haven't watched it though because I was gonna watch it before we recorded, but it's a 26-minute video and I only had 20 minutes. So I thought about just being late, and then I was late anyway, so I could have watched it.
And then I was much later, so you would have had plenty of time.
Yeah, but I'll save it for when I really need it.
Yes.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight. Hunter, tell me to hit those links.
Shannon, hit those links.
Podzilla1985.com if you want to catch up on all the old shows. We have everything on there. 5 years of content. And I'm talking about, if you're a wrestling fan, go back and listen to some of the classics. Listen to when it was me, Hunter, and someone else. And hear some of wrestling's greatest stories from
Mr.
the past.
Black.
You can catch up on... I Want to Believe. You can catch up on Nerd Up. Anything and everything's on Podzilla1985.com. Cast and crew, the alumni section. It's a fantastic website. Check us out on social media. Pretty much anything. Look up Podzilla1985. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985 if you want to interact with us. And of course, Patreon.com/Podzilla1985 if you want to donate to us. Right now, we are currently kind of in a rebuilding phase because of the coronavirus. We're looking to get things going again really, really soon. And... yes.
Yeah. So
I think that's it
for the rest of this week. Tomorrow night we're back with after. This is why I didn't do it. This is why I should have just told you to do it. Tomorrow night we're back with After Dark. We're continuing our new trivia concept. I'm coming up with the trivia game this week, so it's going to be me, Shannon,
please,
Lindsay. Is Jesse coming?
I don't know if Jesse is. I know Tanner.
Okay,
is.
Tanner will be there. Yeah, because I'm going to make Tanner cry.
Be careful with what you say, because I mentioned it last week on PW knowing he wouldn't listen to it. Then I got a message 2 days ago that said, all caps, I'm listening to PW, and I thought, why would you listen to it?
This week he put me in charge of the trivia, so I'm trying to decide if I'm going to change. I'm not going to lie to you, I haven't done it yet. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to change.
Why would he do that?
The categories up, or if we're going to use the same categories and just do new questions. I don't know.
That was such a bad decision by him to put you in charge.
It really was.
Like he went, oh, he thought, well, you know, the coronavirus wasn't that bad. Let me release these murder hornets now.
I think I'm just going to have my headphones on tomorrow.
And just listen to it while we
just
record.
Listen to
that's
it,
a
yeah.
Good idea. So that's that's tomorrow night. That'll be up either late tomorrow night or Friday. Friday, we're back with the legendary PZ85 group chat podcast of happiness, which is just insanity and craziness. And if you can make it, be there. I haven't missed one yet. I thought I was going to miss last week, and then I made it in time.
It's my favorite show because it's literally just us talking. It's like, there's no topic. We don't go in with anything planned.
Yes.
If you've ever just wanted to hear what we sound like when we hang out and we're just being friends, this is it.
Yeah, exactly.
Except meaner.
I don't know, man. We get pretty mean anyway.
That's true.
We're coming back, of course. I don't want to get too far out here, but next week, just a quick preview. Jesse did mention that he and Asa are probably going to bring Nerd Up back. So, Dalton, you may want to be aware of that. I don't know if they left you out of the loop. But
I didn't know about that, no.
Jesse said he wanted to get Nerd Up and running again, so I believe they're going to do a show on Monday, and then so we're going to move PZ85 Plays to Tuesday next week, where we're going to have not an entirely new cast. Cody is bouncing out for a bit, but Jesse, Shannon, and Tanner are coming back with Lindsay joining us for the first time. We're going to be doing a one-shot Savage Worlds game that I was a part of a few years ago. And it's going to be just a little preview. It's going to be something that's based around these guys are going to create characters based on themselves. As a matter of fact, they're basically going to be playing themselves. I have not given them any hint about what's going to happen at all, but it is a lot of fun. And I'll give the title of the show when we start the show so that those of you listening can Google it and find out what it's all about. I just don't want them to know until then. So
finally, it was the role I was born to play.
Myself. And then, you know, we'll continue the bit from there, but that takes us all the way up to next week's PWU, so I think that covers it. Yeah, ooh, we good?
You went way further than we normally do.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that we're clear on that, because we're changing up the schedule early next week, and
So,
yeah.
Tanner's going, well, what happens to I Want to Believe? And I would tell him, I want to believe it'll be okay, but I can't tell you for sure.
I don't know if you noticed, but Tanner did say he wanted to start doing I Want to Believe every other Saturday because he's got all these guests lined up.
Which, that's fine. Like, if he wants to do a thing where I host the normal one and he's on it 1 week, and then 2 weeks later, he hosts and he can interview people, I'm fine with that. I told him I don't know if I want to do that show twice a month, because sometimes it is hard to come up with enough good content when you can't visually show things to talk about. But I'm excited for Tanner. He's done a lot of good work. He's been working really hard at this.
So. Well, it's the same thing. Like, if I want to do an action figure show, but it's so impossible to do unless you're known.
Yeah.
Because, like, what am I going to say? Well, this figure's really cool.
I was gonna say that's got to be a video podcast at that point. That's got to be a YouTube.
Yeah. All right, so here's the new figure I'm opening, guys. Google this name if you want to see it.
Now that I have this really nice microphone, I am legitimately thinking about doing unboxings.
Dalton, I want you to do unboxings, but I do want you to do it as audio. So the whole podcast is you're like, all right, I'm gonna open this box, and then it's just box opening sounds for a few minutes.
So you hear him go, "Oh, that's cool."
And then you come
back. Something really embarrassing that is very kind of pertinent. The Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, their Patreon, they do it like a weekly Let Them Breathe if you pay so much. So you get to see them open a figure. But so they have that on. They have a video of that. You can also listen to the audio, just the audio. It's the most pointless thing ever. Because you do hear boxes.
I'm just going to tell you, the phrase Let Them Breathe made me a little itchy when you put it there.
A little bit. And I started thinking of could we do just a sex podcast with noises? And would anybody get off on that?
There's
the second question, I don't know, but we could definitely do it.
Like, just it would just be, Dalton, I want you to make moaning noises in 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
Ka-ka!
Okay.
Haven't you already done that with the dolphin, though?
Okay. That's going to fucking do it. That's it.
We're done.
I want to thank Double H. I want to thank Dalton for being here. Sad Asa couldn't be here this week. Hopefully we'll get him back next week. We love you, Asa, in case you're listening. For all of you guys out there, thanks for tuning in. We're going to be back all week and next week forever, because that is our hell. Hunter, take us out.
This is the new flesh. Later.